Well, currently, our legislative district lines are drawn by state legislators in the General Assembly. The consequence of that is well known, and it's something that we've been covering quite a bit here on the air. The lines end up being drawn to benefit whichever party happens to be in control. That's a practice known as gerrymandering. It goes back 200 years. Every party does it, but with more technology, more data available today, the situation is getting worse. Courts for many years have struck down racial gerrymandering as unconstitutional. That violates the 15th Amendment as well as the 14th and others. Partisan gerrymandering, gerrymandering to benefit one party over the other, has never been struck down by the Supreme Court, largely because it's very difficult to measure. But all that technology and data I mentioned means that that may be about to change. And there is a lawsuit going through the courts in North Carolina right now. League of Women Voters of North Carolina v. Rucho. This was filed last year by the Southern Coalition for Social Justice and the Campaign Legal Center on behalf of the League of Women Voters and others. It is arguing for the courts to strike down partisan gerrymandering on the grounds that it can now be measured. And we're joined now on the air by Alicia Brown. She's with the Southern Coalition for Social Justice, and she is the lead attorney on this case. Alicia, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Did I get the year right? Was it filed last year or this year?
It was filed last year,
September
2016. Yep.
There was a recent development. There was a motion to dismiss the case, and there's a three-judge panel. This was filed in district court in North Carolina, and the judges unanimously rejected the motion to dismiss, so the case is going to go through. And June 26th, right, is the trial date that's still set for that?
That's correct.
So it will be a little while before we hear this, but let's talk about the actual case. First of all, I mentioned partisan gerrymandering is sort of the overarching issue. How significant is it in North Carolina?
So we have an expert in this case who has taken the time to do a study of more than 500 redistricting plans, whether state or congressional, from the year 1972 to 2016. Mm-hmm. And what he's done is he's looked at those plans to see how extreme the actual gerrymandering has been in terms of partisan gerrymandering throughout that time period. And what we've in essence found is that North Carolina is the absolute worst.
All right.
Which is why we're here,
yeah,
right? Because you mentioned earlier that partisan gerrymandering is nothing new, right? It's something that Republicans have done. It's something that Democrats have done. But the issue now is with such advanced technology and so much more information being readily available, the question is, has it gone too far? Mm-hmm. Has it gone too far to the point that it is constitutionally impermissible because it dilutes the votes of one population of people simply because they affiliate with one political party? Mm-hmm. And our answer to that question is yes, and we're hoping to get the court to answer that question in the affirmative as well.
So what's the constitutional argument against partisan gerrymandering? Racial gerrymandering is obviously the 15th Amendment, which prohibits racial discrimination in voting. The 14th Amendment certainly comes into play there, too. 14th Amendment also comes into play with partisan gerrymandering, but what's the specific argument?
Sure. So I do want to note that our case was consolidated with another case that where the lead organizational plaintiff is a group called Common Cause, and they are alleging the same thing, that the 2016 Congressional Redistricting Plan is a partisan gerrymander and is unconstitutional. Now, in our case, we are moving forward on a 14th Amendment claim, and we are arguing that we have an acceptable standard for courts to use to determine when the use of a party affiliation has gone too far, right? So you mentioned earlier that the Supreme Court has pretty much said, you know what, this can come into the courts. We will hear this, but the issue is we don't have a standard. We don't know how to judge when it's gone too far. And so our theory is that this should proceed on a 14th Amendment claim, and we are proposing a three-part standard, right? The first part of that standard is that there should be an intent element, right, to show that the legislature had the intent to discriminate against certain groups of people or certain groups of voters, in this case, Democratic voters. The second element is an effect element, right? We want to prove that effect element by using a mathematical measurement called partisan symmetry. And in prior years, partisan bias has been one of those partisan symmetry measurements, and we are actually proposing a new measurement called the efficiency gap. And I'll get into more information about the efficiency gap in a minute. So with the intent element being the first step, and then the effect element, the last element would be one of justification, right, which would be that burden will actually be placed on the state for you know, the state to somehow offer a legitimate justification for why this plan turned out so unbalanced and so in favor of Republicans, for instance, particularly here in North Carolina, and things, you know, that can be used to amount to justification would be, for instance, well, the state's political geography required us to draw the lines this way, or there are legitimate redistricting criteria that we used and because of those criteria, the lines had to be that way, right? Mm-hmm. So although that burden would be placed on the state or whoever's drawing these lines, we obviously go, you know, the next step and say, actually, here's the intent, here's the effect, and there is no legitimate justification for this type of
And certainly hard for a state to show justification when you got districts that sort of begin in Orange County and snake through Southern Durham and cover Raleigh or things like that.
Correct.
Okay. So speaking with Alicia Brown, again, the lead attorney on this case, it's a League of Women Voters of North Carolina via Rucho, filed by the Southern Coalition for Social Justice and the Campaign Legal Center. So take a step back on the 14th Amendment. 14th Amendment is the Equal Protection Clause. So the argument here is the state legislature had the intent of discriminating against one party in favor of another and had that effect without justification, and that's a violation of equal protection under the laws. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So the only way to get to that is to measure it in some way, and that's where the efficiency gap comes in. So what is the efficiency gap, and how does that get used to measure gerrymandering?
Sure. So in the voting rights world, when there is a gerrymander, there are two things that are happening, and we call those things cracking and packing. And cracking just means that lines are drawn in a way to pretty much separate.
Divide.
Yeah. There you go. Divide people of a particular group, whether it's a racial group, whether it's a political party, in order to minimize their impact on the electoral process as a whole. And then conversely, packing is just placing a certain group of people within one district for, again, the purposes of limiting their political impact. And so the efficiency gap is a mathematical measure of cracking and packing. That's what it is. And it takes the number of wasted votes between both parties. And a wasted vote is any vote that is cast in excess of what a winning candidate needed, and any vote that is cast for a losing candidate, right? So when you think about it, it really makes sense from a practical perspective, right? Because if I'm voting for a candidate and that candidate is sure to lose, I've wasted my vote, right? Mm-hmm. That's cracking. In the packing situation, if I've voted for a candidate in a district where that candidate is sure to win because 86% of the voting age population affiliates with the party with which that candidate is running, then that vote is wasted as well, right? So in other words, if a candidate needs 51% of the vote and they get 60% of the vote, then 9% of those votes are wasted. And so what the efficiency gap does is it takes the difference between wasted votes for each party and it divides it by the total number of votes cast, and you'll get a number. You'll either get a negative number, which is the way we portray it, or you'll get a positive number. And the way we identify the negative versus positive is just like Republican versus Democratic, right? And so in North Carolina, when we did that calculation of wasted votes, we found that our efficiency gap under the 2016 congressional election, congressional plan is at 19%, which is a significantly higher number than many of the plans that were studied that I mentioned earlier between 1972 and 2016.
So put that in layman's terms, 19% means 19% of the votes that were cast were wasted, or?
No, it just means that at this 19% number, Republicans have a systematic advantage at turning actual votes into seats. Winning seats in that plan. So to sort of put it in perspective, political scientists have sort of suggested that a 7-ish percent threshold is one that would be good for purposes of the courts determining whether there's a presumption of unconstitutionality, right?
Okay.
So if it exceeds that threshold, then it's presumably unconstitutional, and then the state bears the burden of satisfying strict scrutiny, right? So if you think about it, over more than 500 plans, and they come up with a 7% threshold, and here in North Carolina, we're at 19%.
All the way at 19, right? Yeah. So zero would be no gerrymandering, right?
That's correct.
Seven is so much that we're already skirting the line of being unconstitutional. North Carolina's 2.5 times that much.
Pretty much.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. All right. Speaking with Alicia Brown, again, who's the lead attorney on this case, there's also a case that's going through Wisconsin right now. So what's the status of that case versus this case?
So in Wisconsin, they got a wonderful decision from a 3-judge panel in federal district court there, which found in favor of the plaintiffs. They found that there was a use of party affiliation that does not pass constitutional muster. And the good thing about that decision is that it was bad in Wisconsin, and, and the court agreed with us. And we're actually working with a number of the attorneys who worked on that case as well. So the court agreed with us. It is 10 times worse in North Carolina. So, you know, we are hoping that the federal district court here will be like the court there and see that, you know, while we understand that party affiliation will always play, you know, a role in redistricting, there comes a time when it goes too far. And when it goes too far and we begin to dilute the votes of the citizens here in North Carolina and across the United States as well. This isn't something that's exclusive to North Carolina, although North Carolina is by far the worst. Mm-hmm. It's important for this type of decision to go forward to the Supreme Court so that we can make sure we're doing everything we can to protect the fundamental right to vote.
And what's the timeline on that? Middle District is hearing this case in June. They're going to make a decision. There's going to be an appeal to Circuit Court and then Supreme Court after that. So is it a year, 2 years?
Well,
it's hard to tell in advance.
It is hard to tell. And the good thing about having a 3-judge panel is you can appeal directly to the Supreme Court.
Okay.
So I can't answer that question.
But okay.
But what I can tell you is that I do anticipate that either way it goes, there will be an appeal.
All right. Speaking again with Alicia Brown, we got to let you go in a second, but where can people go to find out more info on this issue?
Yeah, you can definitely visit our website at southerncoalitionforsocialjustice.org. You can also visit the Campaign Legal Center's website. They're putting out a number of articles on this issue, and you can always call us up and ask us any questions at SCSJ.
All right. Southerncoalition.org, the website, if you want to find out more. Alicia Brown, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.